Good morning. This is Scott Fryman, creator of Deconstructing the Beatles, a series of multimedia films about the composition and recording techniques of the Beatles. And you're listening to Too Much Scrolling.
Scrolling for November 22nd, 2016. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. This week, you can go to Huntley, Illinois and go to the Turkey Testicle Festival.
So about 50 miles outside the great Windy City, You can go out and you can have a ball out there.
Have a ball.
Or more.
A whole bowl of them.
Yes, it is a real event.
Yes.
It is probably one of the odder things going on in the area.
Yes.
That's on a Wednesday, by the way. That's before Thanksgiving.
That's tomorrow. Yeah.
So obviously you can probably have a few beers with that. And actually they have a great lineup of different local bands playing. So my goodness, if you've been to a festival during the summer, you've probably seen these bands. But anyway, this is where they are tomorrow, and you can just go out and have a turkey testicle.
There you go. And then on Thursday, it's Thanksgiving, so you can eat the rest of the turkey on Thanksgiving on Thursday here in America.
That's right. Save the gizzard for me. No. What was it? Save the neck for me.
Oh, God. Clark. we're getting into all the holidays now, aren't we? All
save the neck time. For me, Clark.
And then on Friday begins the 17th annual Chicago TARDIS Doctor Who convention. So you can go out to Lombard and be a part of that.
On Black Friday. You can get there early. Get your shopping done and head over to the Doctor Who
because
festival.
It's right in the shopping mall. It's right in the Yorktown Center shopping mall. So the fun part is watching all the people in line at the Target right there.
Go and cosplay. That's all I say.
I love it. We'll talk more about it as the show goes on. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. I went out to the theater last week and saw Doctor Who, The Power of the Daleks, and on Saturday, November 19th, I got to see it again on BBC America.
You got to see it twice?
I've seen it twice now. Again, this is a really amazing story. Doctor Who has been on the air for 53 years as of tomorrow. Tomorrow's Doctor Who's birthday. Happy birthday, Doctor Who. And this is an episode from 1966 that was lost to the ages. Somebody decided, well, we have all the audio. All the audio was collected by fans around the world, and they have all of the audio. Somebody geniusly decided to animate this and to give us this episode back.
And so they gave you the episode. Did you enjoy it the first time?
Here's the way that I've been answering that question all week. I love the fact that this exists. I love the fact that we have this episode from 1966. What I wish they had done, and maybe somebody will do, is ramped it up for a 21st century audience. This is a TV show from 1966. It's basically a space soap opera, and the pacing of it is so slow at points. They really could have tightened it up, but they decided not to. That was the decision they had to make. Are we going to...
It was an artistic decision.
It's an artistic choice.
The integrity of the moment.
And they decided to leave in all of the empty space moments of the 1966 presentation, and I applaud them for making that artistic choice. Now I want somebody to go in with a better Foley artist and make this a 21st century movie, as opposed to six 25-minute episodes of a TV show. Mm-hmm. If you do the math on that, it's a 2.5-hour presentation of basically a space soap opera. I love that it exists. I look forward to them doing more of these. I think that once this is successful, They will see some of the other over 100 episodes of Doctor Who that have been lost and animate those as well. I think this is a good solution.
Oh, excellent.
You got to see Deconstructing the Beatles White Album. This is a lecture series in theaters presented by Scott Fryman, who gave us our opening for this episode.
Now, this was not a Phantom event.
Yeah.
And which was interesting because I found out that this was showing the day it was showing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how I lucked across that this was showing at the theater. But anyway, I moved my schedule around. I got all my stuff done to head out to our local theater where we normally watch our other events.
Yeah.
And I bought my ticket. I went in. We had about 10 of us in our theater, and they sang the entire time. So nice. every time Scott was presenting some music, they all sang along with it. We had a great group there.
So tell me about what Scott was telling us about the White Album here.
All right. So Scott originally put these together for his friends. He's an accomplished person in his own right. But anyway, he decided he loved the Beatles and wanted to put together a little presentation on the recording techniques that they used, on some oddities from that they would pick up, maybe some stories about how they put together these songs, and maybe where the inspiration for these songs would come from. Now, this one was on the White Album, but he also has a presentation on Revolver. He's got one on Sgt. Pepper. He's got one on a Rubber Soul, and the one we got to sell was the White Album. The one he would do at a university usually is about 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. We got an hour and a half. And this is an hour and a half presentation where he says, let me tell you some stories I know about the Beatles and how they put together these songs. Now, this the White Album was originally, in fact, the title of the White Album is actually The Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
What is interesting about it is that they recognize that times change. The album that came out before this was Sgt. Pepper. If you think about it, psychedelic cover. I mean, really, really...
rich colors.
Think about the cover of it. Just intricate. Just mm-hmm. like that. This album just has the word The Beatles on it. And at the time it was issued, it has a serial number that... And they put it on it, and that was it. And because of that, it was known as the White Album, because mm-hmm. it was white. And the artist put it together, and you learned a little bit about the artist. He breaks down a number of the songs from, there's every genre you could ever imagine from this. Really, Paul McCartney and John Lennon at the time had absolutely just mastered the song, and they were just playing. We get a little bit of the torment that George Harrison was going through at the time, because he was putting together the song, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Mm-hmm.
He just could not get this song to play the way it does. And then we learned later on, after they recorded everything, they come back to this song, and they ultimately bring in Eric Clapton to do the guitar riffs that you know so well.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these stories you may know a little bit about. Some of them you probably don't know a lot. But what I really enjoyed about it was learning about the four-track system they were recording on, how they stole the eight-track system, how they from upstairs from EMI to record some stuff. I mean, just there wasn't, it was just one fun nugget after another for the person who this was his passion. The joy he had
mm-hmm.
at giving you the little reveals was incredible. I highly recommend this. I think it's in February we get our next one. And this is a whole series of these they'll be showing at movie theaters, but of his lectures. And you can go to his site and you can learn about whether he's going to be showing up at a university or an area near you to talk about these too.
Yep, that website is beatleslectures.com. And we thank Scott Fryman for all of this information that he's given us and for doing our opening of the show today. Thank you very much, Mr. Fryman. You also got to see The Loving Story. This is the story of Richard and Mildred Loving. We talked about the dramatization of this that came out in theaters a couple weeks back.
But yeah.
This is a documentary that was made in 2011.
Yeah, I thought it was, I was on iTunes, yeah. and it just looked like one of those places where it says in theaters now.
Yeah.
So I said, click, I'll go ahead and rent this to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And so I watched it as I was preparing for the show, and I found out it was an HBO documentary from 2011. Now that I've seen this documentary, I'm not sure if I'm going to see the movie, because I think that if you get the flavor of one, you don't need to experience another one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very interesting time. So if we just talked about the White Album being released in 1968, this took place in 1967, just a year before that. But anyway, they had gotten married. Oh, that's when the Supreme Court actually said that people, humans, can actually marry each other. At the time, marry male and female.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality was is that this was a rural Virginia community. It is probably, I'm guessing, 70, 80 miles from D.C. And anyway, people just got married, and they were a black woman and a white male. They got married. He was a bricklayer. Cohen called him a redneck, interestingly enough. But, you know, I didn't really get that from the interviews. I said, I'm absolutely blown away. They must have known this was going to be landmark because there's plenty of pictures and video from that time. I don't even know if I have that much video of me walking around my home as they had on him. The kids were, they had a little interview with the children. And ultimately, they had to go to D.C. to get married because you could get married there. But Virginia said they could not come back. There was a sheriff that was a racist, a gentleman, who kind of played the antagonist in this. But anyway, the idea is that when they step foot back into Virginia, which is right across the border, they could be arrested. Initially, they were said, hey, you're going to jail, but no, we're going to suspend that as long as you leave the state. Well, they wanted to come back home. I liked this. I'm glad things changed. I'm glad things continue to change. I mean, people are people. And my goodness, if we can find a way for people to be take care of each other, that's probably more important than some of the reasons why I guess someone would argue that they couldn't. But we get a little bit of the Virginia capital and their legal process. We get some of the national legal process on this. I enjoyed it. And I don't think I need to go back and visit this again.
What you can go back and visit is 1942, because opening this week, there's a movie called Allied. This is a Robert Zemeckis-directed film that has a Brad Pitt in it. So that's two. I am sold on, if you say Robert Zemeckis to me, I will watch that movie. If you say Brad Pitt to me, I will watch that movie.
This is like the Polar Express, right?
This is more like that Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt movie where they were spies and they were married. This is the story of two spies who are married. And the question in 1942 is whether or not the wife is a double agent or not. Dun, dun, dun.
In fact, I don't even know if it's a true story or not.
I don't know.
But anyway, it looks like an interesting story.
Doesn't matter to me. It's got Brad Pitt in it.
Anyway, this looks an interesting story. Obviously, he's married and his, I think the point is that his superiors come to Brad Pitt's character and say, I think your wife's a spy, and they have kids and all sorts of fun stuff.
It looks like a fun adventure. Whether it's a true story or not, I think I'm going to catch Allied in the theater.
What about something else?
Yeah, then there's Bad Santa 2.
You never saw the original?
I never watched Bad Santa. Bad Santa and the concept of the negativity of Christmas leads a bad taste in my mouth.
I'll agree with that. I have a hard time with many of the Christmas movies. But anyway, the idea that you have children who enjoy this time of year and then to create something that purposely is going to wreck it. Anyway, Bad Santa, I saw the original one. Actually, I thought it was kind of fun. I wouldn't watch it with a young person at all. And part of it is, I mean, it is a magical time of the year and all that other stuff. I will not see this at the theater. I may end up seeing this eventually, but because it was, the first one was entertaining. But like I said, I think you're right. It kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah. What should be wonderful is the new Disney Thanksgiving movie, Moana. This is the Hawaiian myth based movie that we've been seeing the commercials for so long, and the kids are really excited to see this one.
Now, my high schooler, the ninth grader, said, I'm interested in seeing this movie.
Isn't that funny how sometimes they're interested in things you didn't expect them to be interested in? Sometimes they're not interested in those things you thought they would be so excited about.
And this is a computer animated film.
Yep.
And it's starring Dwayne Johnson.
Yep.
The Rock.
The Rock, the kid's favorite.
Yeah, and as we were preparing for this, we were kind of putting together some thoughts on it. I said he was kind of like the Fred McMurray of this generation.
And that blew my mind. You are absolutely right. If we think back to the 50s and 60s, Fred McMurray, you know, the absent-minded professor, being that Disney dad who's very capable and very silly and is still a strong figure, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, in a lot of ways, has become that guy in movies.
And he's kind of a cool guy who's willing to be silly. And in fact, there's a great point of it, because we've seen a whole bunch of Disney Dwayne The Rock Johnson films, and my kids really, they love them.
Isn't that great?
So I think that... I I think we've got something here. Obviously, this is going to be a big hit over the Thanksgiving break.
I think Disney might be in line for making a lot of money this year.
But the most interesting film of the week is actually maybe something you have to look for.
Yeah, this one's Australian. The name of the movie is just Lion. That's all it is, and that's kind of hard to find. But this is an Australian film.
Australian?
About a 5-year-old Indian boy who gets lost in the streets of Calcutta and gets adopted by an Australian couple, the mother of whom is Nicole Kidman. This looks like a really touching, good, wholesome kind of story. I really look forward to finding this one.
This is an awesome film. I look forward to seeing it.
The other one that's a little obscure, but I think it looks like a really fun adventure, is called Rules Don't Apply. This is another Howard Hughes biopic, directed this time by Warren Beatty, and talking about a piece of Howard Hughes' life, which is a really interesting way to do biopics.
And a misunderstanding, maybe? Mm-hmm. Getting M.M.?
The trailer is very specific. It's about an actress who is brought to Howard Hughes because he requested that famous actress with the letters M.M., and he meant Marilyn Monroe, but he didn't get Marilyn Monroe. This seems like a really good movie. I like biopics. I like the idea of looking at a piece of a famous person's life.
Very nice.
That one looks like a winner. Brings us to our book of the week, and you gave me a birthday present this week, Chip. You didn't know it, but you texted me during the week. You said, Steve, you need to find the book called Replay by Ken Grimwood. This was published in 1986. I have never heard of this book before you texted me this week. This is the story of a man named Jeff who dies and then is instantly
reincarnated?
Reborn? Awakened? I don't know what word we can use. He finds himself in his own body.
In 1963.
25 years before his death.
1963.
Kind of a pivotal year in a lot of people's lives.
It seems like a lot of things go back to 1963.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he keeps getting reincarnated. So he lives his life.
And dies at exactly the same moment each time in 1988. And then jumps right back to his time in 63.
So, you know, I think what's really interesting about it is the first time it happens, he's like kind of confused, mm-hmm. what's really going on, because he wakes up as a young man. And what is most interesting about it is he starts like, I know all these things that are going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So I need to set myself up. So he starts, what does he do? He does a little gambling.
A little gambling and a little sporting events that he knows that the outcome of, like the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some big sporting events that he knows the outcome of because he was there.
And he makes a lot of money quickly.
Uh-huh.
And then he starts a sort of a hedge fund. With his partner,
mm-hmm.
He gets married, has a wonderful daughter. He has a great experience, and then at the same time, he dies.
He dies again at the same moment that he died the first time.
Wakes up, like, that person never existed.
None of that stuff happened.
So he starts making choices, and that's the interesting. He, you know, the first time that we get this reincarnation, he makes a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
The next time that he has this reincarnation, was it sex? It was,
sex and drugs.
Orgies and, uh-huh. and also, you know, all the good stuff that you would think.
It's such a deep philosophical question. If you had it all to do over again, what would you do? And if you found you had to do it over again, would you do the same things you did the first time or the second time?
He starts making rules for himself, like, I'm not going to have children.
Because that was too painful.
Sure. Mm-hmm. In fact, I mixed these up. But anyway, one time he adopted some kids. You know, another time he goes on excursions, sees the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, eventually...
One of the trips, he finds Steve Jobs in California and invests heavily in Apple. I love that.
You know what the future is, and then what things that you can do with it.
Too bad he couldn't know the future that Google was going to exist, and he could go invest in Google, too.
But as he sort of gets to his part, reincarnates himself, he starts unloading things that really didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he makes enough to be comfortable, but he doesn't overdo it. You know, eventually he becomes what I would say is wiser. Each reincarnation, not early on, but things just change.
Really? And you have just described Buddhism. That's what it is. The reincarnation, you should get wiser each time.
Well, I got that, and I think that's why I picked it. I sent it over to you.
Yes, thank you.
And I said, this is a story. Now, there's another twist to this, and I don't know how far we should go. This book was released in 1986.
Right.
And the twist is that every time that you're reincarnated, your time for that 25 years is shorter.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually it gets really, really short.
Only a minute of reincarnation at the end, and then who knows what happens, because the book ends.
Oh, I enjoyed this book so much. In fact, I started reading it early on a Sunday morning. I finished it that night. I never read a book in a day.
This was one of those books that I finished in 2 days, but it's a real page turner. It's a real deep spiritual questioning kind of a story.
I think so. And I think that it what makes it better is if you've read a few of these stories.
Mm-hmm. Which I have.
And then maybe know a little bit of the religious background of, he may not have specifically aimed it towards that, you get...
He does mention some of the world's religions and some of the theories about afterlife. It's a part of the discussion of this man going through this situation, and we as the reader get to go through it with him.
Oh, I highly recommend this. A lot of fun. Go for it.
Yeah, this is going on my list of the books that when somebody says, hey, what should I read? I'm going to tell them about Replay.
So let's just say that on Thanksgiving, if you want to zone out and say, I've got something too good to be present.
Yeah.
This could be it. But of course, we would never say that. We want you to be present.
Or you can watch the Turkey Day Festival from MST3K, because they're going to be watching episodes of MST3K online all day on Turkey Day.
So as you're going over the river and through the woods.
Yes, let's get to grandmother's house.
That's right. Obviously, do you have any apps that we could use?
Yeah, it brings us to our appetite. Well, I get it. It's Thanksgiving. It's our appetite. Our app of the week. This week, I've been playing with the new Android Auto app. Those of you who have been shopping for new cars lately, you might have seen that the new car radios in new cars, they might have a head unit that you can connect your phone and have your phone screen pop up on the screen. There's two of them. Android Auto is the Android one, and CarPlay is the Apple one, and most cars have both capabilities now. But Android Auto this week came out with a standalone version where on my Android phone, I can have a screen that is very similar to the Android Auto screen in the new cars without me having to buy a new car.
So tell me a little bit about it.
The idea of Android Auto and CarPlay is we're going to use our phones. We shouldn't be looking at our phones while we're driving, but if we're going to use our phones, we should have a large, big red button for the things that we need. The sound coming out of the phone through the stereo speakers, the navigation, and to a lesser extent, the communication, telephone, and messaging. Mm-hmm. This allows me to have those big buttons. When I step into my car and I connect the Bluetooth to my phone, it automatically pulls up these big, friendly buttons that if I want to play music, I press the big button. If I want to call somebody, it's a really large, easy interaction.
If you want to, let's say, listen to a podcast or something on the way.
Yeah, our podcast is a part of the Google Play system, so it's in there. I also have all the other apps that are not Google apps. I use Pocket Casts currently, and that app integrated into Android Auto just fine.
And while I'm oversimplifying it, on many levels, it's basically taking your phone and making it big button friendly.
That's it. That is what this app does, and it does it really well. The things that are disappointing about it for me this week is the OK Google function does not work. And my phone just reacted to be saying OK Google. When I say those keywords in my car with this app, it does not function. And that's really frustrating. We're at a point where these things should just work.
All right.
Brings us to our now the news. There's lots of stuff happening this week. The big news, one of the big news stories this week, is Disney has been having the best year in movie box office ever.
Well, that really surprises me. I mean, when you own, say, Star Wars, the Disney catalog,
Marvel.
Marvel.
ESPN, everything.
It just surprises me that things would be going so well.
Those big movies are so big. We got a big Disney release this week, and they're having a great year. Congratulations, Disney.
I would say there's no company out there that is better at brand management right now than Disney. Disney is on fire. And even though ESPN's having its challenges, it's still on fire. Mm-hmm. In fact, let's talk a little bit about the Beauty and the Beast trailer that was just released.
Yeah, they released a trailer for the new live-action Beauty and the Beast, which is coming soon, and it has had more views of that trailer than anything else in the 24-hour period. It had millions of views.
Well, first of all, Beauty and the Beast was incredibly loved when it came out back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're making a live-action version with Hermione.
Right. Love how you know all the actors' names. You know, that girl that was in that thing. Yes, she's going to be in this, and it's going to be fantastic. I love Beauty and the Beast. I put it on stage 2 years ago, and we had such a fun time with it. It's a great story.
In fact, I think it's my favorite of the Disney films.
I would agree.
All right. So, and also to give an example of how great it is at brand management and making sure that they do things that we notice, mm-hmm. Marvel actually gave an award to Stan Lee. Disney gave an award to Stan Lee.
For his work with Marvel for the last 75 years.
75 years.
Stan Lee needs more recognition. He's got some stories to tell, man. He does. He's got some great stories. I love listening to him. I've gone to see him at C2E2 here in Chicago twice, and he's got some great stories.
How can you not love him? But anyway, my point being is that they really do a lot of things real well, and obviously it's showing up in their numbers.
Yeah. Tomorrow is Doctor Who's birthday. Doctor Who is turning 53 years old tomorrow.
Steve's not turning 53.
I'm not turning 53 tomorrow. I'm only 42. 42.
Oh, no.
The answer. I wonder what my birthday presents are going to look like tomorrow.
He's going to be so wise.
Yes. Doctor Who it's got such a storied past to it. One thing, the Doctor Who Experience, which is a museum piece in Cardiff, Wales, where you can go and visit all the collection of all the props and costumes that they have, mm-hmm. they're closing down in 2017, which is the bad news.
So they're getting one more year.
Right.
Okay, and then?
Then the good news, I really believe that they are going to put together a tour of that material, so I don't have to go to Wales to see it. Maybe they'll bring it to the Smithsonian for a period.
Or, Museum of Science and Industry, my friend.
That would be an interesting place to have movie memorabilia. They've done that before.
They have. They did one in Charles Schultz a few years ago. They've been known to have a few pop things going on.
Nothing's been announced yet, but I really have high expectations that we're going to be able to see some of those Doctor Who things.
Well, they also announced a Christmas special, which I heard they're going to do a Christmas special. Have you heard about that, Steve?
This is the first and only episode of Doctor Who in 2016. It is on Christmas Day. It's one of our family traditions. We watch the 3 Star Wars movies. There are 3 Star Wars movies. And then we watch Doctor Who at night. And on Tuesday, December 27th, after Christmas, they're going to be putting that in the theaters again through Fathom Events.
Fathom Events has been very good to us.
Yes.
On the 27th of December and also on the evening of the 29th.
Yep, they're replaying it again on the 29th.
So you can get together as a group.
Right. I get together with my family on Christmas and we watch Star Wars, the 3 Star Wars movies, and then Doctor Who. And then I can get together with my convention friends, my Doctor Who Whovian friends, and watch this again in the theater the 27th. We're joined today by Jennifer Kelly from Chicago TARDIS, the Midwest's premier Doctor Who event. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How are you? How is all the preparations for the 17th annual Chicago TARDIS convention that's starting on Friday here?
Well, myself and all my staff members have been working hard to bring everybody in the Chicago area a really lovely event.
It's amazing to think that this is the 17th version of Chicago TARDIS. It's happening this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, November 25th, 26th, and 27th at the Westin Lombard Yorktown Center in Lombard, Illinois. That is a lot of names for this hotel.
It is, but it's worth it, though. It's a really nice hotel.
I love it. I love going to this convention. I've been going for as long as you've had this convention. I even went to Visions, which was the convention that predated Chicago TARDIS.
Yes, I remember Visions. I spent 9 years working Visions as well.
Oh, you were involved with that one as well?
Yeah, and I ran the masquerade and I ran the special events. We did the opening and closing ceremonies and the variety show at Visions.
That's fantastic. We've carried over so many of those traditions to Chicago TARDIS. This is the most fun gathering of all of the Whovians. Is it the second largest convention in the world? Is that true?
It's a Doctor Who convention. That's strictly Doctor Who convention. That isn't, officially sponsored by the BBC event. So in this country, it's certainly the second largest Doctor Who convention, eclipsed only by Gallifrey out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that one I've never made it to, but I always make it to Lombard for the Chicago TARDIS, that's for sure. The full schedule of events is available right now on chicagotardis.com, and boy, have you got a huge list of guests who are going to come out and share their experiences with us crazy people.
Now, we're really excited, especially about Michelle Gomez.
Yes.
She plays Missy in the current incarnation of the Doctor, and Missy, of course, being the Master.
Yes.
And she's just a hoot. I've seen her in interviews and at table for events, and she's like, I can't wait for people to meet her because she is just gonna bring a smile to your face. She's just so funny.
Yeah, she is a wonderful person, and she's so so interested in talking to the fans. I look forward to meeting her this weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
Who else have you got?
Well, we have a wide array of companions, mostly from the 1960s. We have Peter Perks, who played Steven Tyler with the first Doctor. We have Fraser Hines, who was Jamie with the second Doctor.
He's at every convention, isn't he? Isn't Fraser at every convention?
These days he is, but hey, he's one of those guests that it doesn't matter how many times you've seen him, he always brings something new to the table.
No
he's
kidding.
Always lovely, always entertaining. He loves fans, everybody loves to be around him.
Yeah, I love listening to his stories. I do feel bad for the moderator who's on stage with him because they just have to ask him a question like, "Hi, Fraser, how are you?" And then the rest of the interview is just Fraser.
Eventually, the music comes on.
Yeah,
we get the hook. Okay, someone else needs to come on now.
That's right. We need these microphones for somebody else.
I'm just teasing.
Who else is on your list this year?
Well, we have Annika Wills, who played Polly with the first and second Doctor, and was in The Power of the Daleks that just came out recently on Fathom Events and broadcast last weekend on BBC America.
Yeah, we just got finished talking about that. Did you get a chance to see that one?
I haven't because I've been so busy working on the convention. It's just like,
When this convention is over, you need to sit down and watch that. It is a fun adventure, and I'm so excited that it exists. I hope that they are able to make more in the future.
Oh, so do I, yeah. It's just so exciting to be able to see, traveling stories in any format. It's just heartening, that they did that.
Along with the people who are there, are there presentations? I mean, where they show a movie or show a show?
Well, we have so many things going on. It isn't funny. And as we expect at a convention, there's going to be, question and answer sessions with our guests. There's going to be autograph and photograph sessions. There's going to be a dealer's room, of course, where you can find a huge array of Doctor Who-related merchandise. But we also have two other tracks of programming where we have all sorts of different discussion topics. Things like Team TARDIS versus a solo companion, which works better with the Doctor. Panel about bringing companions back after they leave the show. How does that work kind of thing? We have cosplay, all sorts of cosplay, including a chronological cavalcade, which is like a parade of costumes. We line people up, in chronological order where their costume, aired on the show.
Nice.
So you start with first Doctor costumes and second Doctor costumes and go from there. And we have a separate masquerade on Saturday night, which is like the big competition. You actually people who enter it can actually win prizes for their handiwork, which is kind of nice. We also have a gaming room where people can go and play games. And this interesting thing about this is that it's all Doctor Who related games.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just, the Doctor Who Yahtzee, the Doctor Who Monopoly, but these are actually games that the people who run the room came up with. They created themselves.
It's so much fun.
It is, yeah. And we have kids programming. where they could come in and do specific crafts at different times, or if they just need a quiet place to be for a while, they could sit and color or you know, make things or talk to each other, that kind of thing. So, you know, a wide range of things during the day. And in the evening, we have special receptions with our guests. There's a Michelle Gomez reception on Friday night, and we have a reception with all the companions on Saturday night. Those are extra charges, but it's a chance for a really kind of a cozy setting with mm-hmm. with the actors. You can go and you can actually, you know, have conversations with them instead of just, you know, here, sign my thing, thanks, time for the next person kind of thing. It's a really good opportunity to actually, you know, get to know these actors.
So how are ticket sales going? I'm sorry, I said tickets. How are membership sales going?
Yeah, I mean, we call it membership instead of tickets because we like to think that you're part of our family. Mm-hmm. And so you're joining us, and that's why it's membership and not just you're coming to some, you know, show kind of thing, some performance. We're doing all right. A little low this year, I think, just because, you know, Doctor Who hasn't been on the air this year. Mm-hmm. So it's out of, you know, people's consciousness a little bit.
So tickets are still available. People can walk up on Friday or Saturday or Sunday and get in.
Absolutely. We have a choice of a weekend membership, which will cover all 3 days. Or if you can only come out for 1 day, please do that, because we have a 1 day membership that's available as well, where you can enjoy everything that goes on during the course of that day.
And the full weekend pass is $90, and children are half price at $45.
Those are actually the online prices. At the door, it's going to be $100 for the weekend.
Okay.
With $50 for the, you know, for the kids 6 through 12. Kids under 6 get in for free. So
that's wonderful.
It's kind of nice. It's kind of nice for like a, you know, families with smaller kids.
And then the daily membership price?
I believe it is $50 for Friday or Sunday, and $60 for Saturday. Saturday, of course, being the big day that everybody wants to come.
And once again, half price for children ages 6 through 12.
Right.
This is so exciting. 53 years of this television show, the longest running science fiction television show. What is it about Doctor Who that we love so much that makes us come out to these conventions?
Well, I think with Doctor Who itself, it's part of it is just that it's so British. And that just, you know, even though it was being, you know, being British, even though, of course, the Doctor's not a British, you know, he's not a, you know, human, but it's still, the whole show itself just, it has that, you know, kind of feel. It's just, you know, this is kind of how, it's hard to explain how you know, different the three. I'm failing here. Okay, let's try to
say it. That sounds exactly like the BBC. The BBC yes. said, we want to spread our bitterness around the world.
That's right.
That's it. And the other thing that I think really appeals, and we found this found out about this in doing some research for a book that we were writing, that American fans really like it because the Doctor can solve things with just his brain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't say, okay, well, we're just going to shoot it up. You know, he saves violence for the nothing else is going to work, and this is the only thing we can do, so we have to do it. But if he can find any other way around it, he's going to. So, and that appeals to a lot of people.
And there's a difference between Doctor Who and, say, Star Wars, which is very American.
Yeah.
Very American. There's no doubt that there's a shoot first, ask questions never about Star Wars. No doubt about that. So some of our old friends from previous years are going to be here this year. We've got Tony Lee, who is a fan favorite. He's going to be Black Friday shopping. That's one of the things that he just loves to do, is come to America for the craziness that is Black Friday.
Yeah. Well, he comes, he does his shopping on Thursday. You know, the stores accommodate him by opening on Thursday.
Although the Mall of America is closed this year up in Minneapolis. Well, so it looks like we're getting the backlash of
Lombard
that.
Lombard will be open. No worries.
Lombard will be open. And so it might be. So if you're coming out on Friday morning, it might be a little tricky getting to the hotel, since the hotel is kind of on the Yorktown shopping center property. But
that is always a challenge.
Yeah, so plan accordingly.
And our friends Eric Ensign and Stephen Schepansky from Verity and Radio Free Scaro are going to be there, along with Lynn Thomas, who's from DeKalb. So getting to Lombard is not that big of a deal, but we're gonna see some of our podcasting friends there as well.
Yeah, Stephen is doing a number of interviews on our main stage. He'll be talking to Michelle Gomez on Friday, and I do believe he's also talking to Louise Jameson, who will be there on Saturday.
Fantastic.
As well. And Erica and Lynn will be doing a live recording of Verity on Sunday morning on our main stage as well.
That's right. So we get a little bit of podcasting action in all of this.
We'll just prepare for next year.
Too much scrolling at Doctor Who Chicago TARDIS 2017. Let's go.
Exactly. We're going to plant that seed now.
We are definitely going to be there this year. We're going to be walking around and being one of the crazies who are just so into this. I love this convention. Thank you so much for everything. Where can our listeners find more information about Chicago TARDIS?
Well, come and stop by our website, which is chicagotardis.com. Or you can find us at Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ChicagoTARDIS. Those are our two big sources of information.
And you can show up in Lombard on Friday or Saturday or Sunday and pay for a membership or all 3 days and get a hotel room or just stay in the parking lot. It's fine.
But, you know, a lot of people do stay on the parking lot. And we always, you know, that's one of the big Thursday night events is to, you know, stare out the hotel windows and look at all the people lined up at Target and going, okay.
Oh, for Black Friday, yeah. There's a little bit of a spectator sport for Black Friday from the Westin's windows. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Jennifer. Once again, you can go to chicagotardis.com, find more information, or go to our show notes, toomuchscrolling.com. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Boy, I think that I have one of my best weeks of the year this week. I am so excited about the convention, so excited about my birthday and Doctor Who's birthday. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week. But let me line this up for you. So Steve has student meetings with the parents.
Parent-teacher conferences Monday and Tuesday.
Then, you know, on his birthday, of course, there's a turkey testicle festival.
That's right.
So he can't get enough of that. Then he gets to go eat turkey and then watch all of his Star Wars films. And then he gets to spend 3 days either going to the Doctor Who event or, you know, Black Friday. Of course, he lives it up.
Right. It is Steve's week. There is no doubt about that.
The week of Steve.
That's right. So I don't need any more information. That's all the information I need. If you need more, you can find it all over the place. You can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio and Google Play Music. And every day of the week, you can find all the news you need on our website, news.toomuchscrolling.com. We want to thank once again our guest Jennifer Kelly from Chicago TARDIS for joining us today, and Scott Fryman, who gave us our opening today. Thank you all for being here, and happy Who Year's Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I guess that's in there too. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We'll see you in the future.